Welcome to another episode of The Back Porch. My name is Grant. I'm a pastor at First Methodist Church of Grapevine, Texas, and we're really glad to be here with you. This is a podcast where we talk about the Bible, stuff happening in the world, funny things that happen around here where we are, and we just chit-chat, shoot the breeze, talk about some things, hopefully have fun. We very much appreciate being in your earbuds while you're out there mowing the lawn, or you are exercising, or walking, or blasting through your stereo as you are driving down the road on a family road trip. Hello to all of you in the car, and shout out to the person stuck all the way in the back seat. We hope you're having a good day. It's a nice day here, wherever here is. Let's go around the room. I'll tell you who else is here hiding out in the basement way below the steeple that you can see from outer space. To my left, how about I introduce you? We'll try it backwards this time.
Okay.
The pastor of discipleship, which means growing in faith, growing as a person, doing a better job of making a better person out of yourself and the world around you. Actually, I don't even like that. Let me rephrase that. God made you great just as you are. We grow in understanding of God and who God has called us and made us to be.
I like that.
Was that better?
I like that.
So the pastor of discipleship, Carly Payne.
Hey, everyone.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little cold, but I turned the heater on.
You turned the heater on?
Monica said I could.
All right, fine.
I didn't dress appropriately for the weather.
Talking to you here in a sauna. No. So other than being a little bit cold and being sneaky about turning heaters on.
I do it every week.
Do you now?
I do.
Okay.
And we do discuss it every week.
Yes.
I literally never hear you do this.
I know. You're not in here yet.
Oh, okay. That explains it. I'm having other conversations.
When it's just us two.
In different.
We're always like, should we turn the heater on? Yeah.
No wonder y'all look sneaky every time I walk in the room.
I don't feel like we're being sneaky. No. I feel like we're being hospitable to those who will come after us.
Yeah, we like warm it up for everybody else.
All right. Well, Carly, I'm done talking with you. Glad you're here. Welcome. Bring a sweater next time. Now, the pastor of missions, who's also supervising family ministries. He has been a chef. He's been a reporter. He's been a recruiter. And now he is an amazing pastor, Reverend Alan Lutz.
Hello.
How are you, Alan?
I am very well. It is a good day, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, that's good. You don't have anything sneaky you've been up to? Did you somehow, like, change all the nameplates or swap out the mailbox outside or something?
No, but you're giving me some ideas.
Yeah, there we go. Your family doing okay?
They're doing great. Yep, right. Just weathering the storm and playing sports and trying to pass classes.
Just be careful playing sports in a storm.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Point taken.
Couldn't help myself. All right. Thank you, Alan. And last but not least, the absolute star of the podcast, plus everything that she bothers to show up to, our director of families with young children, plus children of all size. And also, she helps out with adults who act like children, Monica Lackey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Day going okay?
Yeah, so far.
All right.
It's pretty good.
So, just a little bit of review of things that have happened in the past. This past Sunday was sort of a big deal with the change of schedule and more children's programming and everything going on.
Yeah.
And it looked fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
I say that, like, the tiny person I dropped off had a blast.
Yeah, it was fun. We started kids' stuff back up, Sunday school, on Sunday mornings in person, which we haven't had in, like, a year. So,
yeah.
That was really fun, and we're going to keep that going the way it's going for the next, like, couple weeks or so and see how it goes and adjust as needed. So,
I tried not to act, like, super excited because I didn't want to be, like, creepy guy with an ice cream van kind of vibe or something, but it was just so fun to go through and see kids in there.
Okay, but mentioning creepy vibes, so, like, six different times, I'm just constantly walking around to make sure everybody's what they're doing, what they're supposed to do, and, like, everything's fine, and if they need me, they can easily flag me down, blah, blah, blah. And for a little while, every time I walked by, y'all three were standing outside the door, And I kept seeing y'all. And every time I was like, who is that? Somebody standing outside the door. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I almost had to go tell y'all to move, because I was like, every time y'all are giving me like a slight heart attack because I just see three tall people standing outside the door where they should not be. And I was like, yeah, about to fight someone, but it was y'all. So it was fine.
Well, I saw it, which is,
it was only like, great... y'all were only out there for probably like 10 minutes, but I had just walked around so many times that I was like, oh my gosh.
Also, Monica's a trained ninja, so watch out if she decides to fight you. Yeah, it's not going to go well for you. But that was actually great, because I had a similar experience where I'd walk out and I'd go over to check, and I'd see a grown man with his back turned, and I'm like, I'm going to jump on him.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, that's actually the greeter who is going by to check.
Right, it's supposed to be there doing what he's doing.
We're supposed to have a plethora of adults who we know who have gone through the background check and done everything, and so... No, it was great to see, but I had that same experience of, who is that? What are they doing?
And especially the first Sunday back, I have, like, all this, like, energy. Like, I was really pumped to be back. And so, yeah, it just came out as, like, oh, I'm going to fight someone. An adult, obviously not a child, but it was fine. I didn't have to fight anybody.
And Sanders, who is one of our facilities guys, who's just an amazing person. Mm-hmm. They all are. That whole team is great. But he was the one on duty. And he kept walking over there for that reason, too.
Yeah.
And unlike me, if Sanders sees an intruder, he has the skills and physique to do something about it. And, like, he's just always going over there checking on the kid, in addition to his actual job.
Right, yeah.
Which he did great, but always just going and checking. And I like that attitude of, we want people to be safe. It's not just feel safe, but be safe. Mm-hmm. Here. Anyway, so that was... It was a great day. It was great to have a closer to normal schedule, but that was the highlight to me, was seeing kids. I brought little Amelia up here with me in the morning, and she stayed all day and played with a lot of people, bossed some people around, as she is known to do. Yeah. So that was great. Any other, before we jump into the Bible, any other comments about Sunday?
It was just really good to have a normal-ish Sunday schedule. You know, we've been doing a combined service, and so to have a Sunday school hour, to have two different services, just felt better.
If you were to describe combined to someone who has never been to church or hasn't been to church in a long time, what do you mean by that?
Little of this, little of that. We've got some old songs, got some new songs. So
we have been kind of doing the casserole version of church.
Yeah.
And now it's good to have a full meal. A full plate for you to choose from. Yeah. The chef looked up at me when I referenced food. It just gave
just
me
want to see where you're going with that. You did. Yeah, you did. Like, you did well.
He was like, "Okay, I'm gonna judge you harshly if you say something wrong." Yeah, it's good. I just want to mention that just because it, you know, want to make sure people who haven't been here yet know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that was fun. I really like the 11 o'clock service. We call it contemporary. I don't even know what that word means. But that was fun to be able to do. We got some work to do, but it was fun.
It's okay.
Yeah. In fact, if you go and watch the recording, I don't know if I should point this out.
Yeah, you should say it. It's funny.
You start the recording. You can hear Josh. He's the leader of the band. And myself, you can hear us arguing about when the live stream starts. And it sounds like an Abbott and Costello thing. It's like, it starts before the slide. When does it start? After the slide? No, it starts before the slide. It's about to start. It started like 1 minute. It had already started. And it's just like, you hear two dum-dums arguing back and forth while it's the slide inviting you to worship.
You got to turn your volume up all the way, but it's there.
It's, thankfully we weren't talking right into a microphone. But, yeah, if you turn it up, you can hear us saying dumb things. Of course, if you just wait, I talk later and say more dumb things directly into a microphone. But still, if you don't get enough of that, there's a little bit of extra hiding in the recording. So, which, by the way, was no one's fault. It's not like it was a media problem. I did have the right information. I just didn't understand it. So user error on my part. All right. So that's Alan. Did you have anything to add about Sunday?
No, it was good.
It was good.
I bounced around all over the place, so I kind of saw bits and pieces of both the bilingual and the 11 o'clock contemporary, so.
Yeah, it's funny, it's one of those weird things where our offices are next door to each other, but yet some days I don't get to see you at all.
Yeah. I got to do the children's time, so that was fun. I haven't done that in a couple of years, so that was a good a good thing.
Children's time is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as fun as when Monica explodes Fanta drinks, but...
No, no, it's hard to touch
that.
Yeah,
that's really fun.
When we're outside, we did church outside for Easter, well, I guess a couple weeks ago now. And yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Anytime you can blow, like, anytime you're outside, you can do so many things that you can't do. Because, like, when I'm with kids, like, I'm going to make a mess. Like, we're going to do stuff that's messy always because that's the best way to learn, in my opinion. And so if we can go outside, it's even better because you can be way messier outside.
That's, like, deeply philosophical.
I got to walk around with a teddy bear all morning.
So might as well be directly messy.
It should be. I got to walk around with a teddy bear all morning, and I might just adopt that as my usual practice on Sunday morning because it's kind of nice. Well, it was my prop for my children's time, and I realized this is something that I might want to keep.
Because, like, then people will just be paying more attention to you, waiting for you to use the teddy bear that you've been carrying around. They'll be like, what is he doing with that?
Yeah.
And they'll wait, and they'll watch you more closely because they're trying to figure out what you're doing.
Huh.
I mean, after a while,
it will get weird, but at first it'll be a little bit.
I'm okay with that.
Switch to a bigger teddy bear after a while, and then just
change,
grow.
And eventually I have like one my size that I just walk next to.
Do you remember that giant?
The giant teddy bear at the last place.
All right, so yeah, since you mentioned first of all, I like the idea of this experiment. Like, you should just have a giant human-sized teddy bear and just carry it around on your shoulders one morning, no explanation.
Nope.
And people say, like, "What's with a teddy bear?" You say, "What do you mean?"
Right. I like that.
What do you mean?
What teddy bear?
But yeah, so at the church we worked at before, the senior pastor's office had a private bathroom. And she might have walked in there one day and there was a giant teddy bear just sitting there on the toilet. Yeah.
I think you almost got fired that day.
There was some mild screaming. Yeah. It got a really good reaction. I love how she didn't know, like, she hadn't seen the teddy bear. She didn't know about it. She automatically knew of all the people who worked there, it was me. Yeah.
I continued your legacy. The teddy bear made some other appearances and other staff peoples.
I'm amazed it survived.
It's still there, best I know.
Yeah. All right, we'll probably use that picture on the Facebook for this podcast episode. I got to dig that up somewhere.
Yeah.
Teddy bear sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the old black and white toilet. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we did a lot of nonsense up front, so I feel like we should move on to something serious now.
Sounds good.
But if you want to know more about church, our church specifically, and how you can get plugged in, I want you to feel comfortable and clearly know if you've listened this far in the conversation, we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, we really don't. We want it to be a fun, comfortable place for you to come and your whole family to come and to learn and grow. So there's no dress code. I wear tennis shoes every week. I can tell you why if you want to hear that long story sometime, but you know, just come as you are. You're very welcome. It's a very safe, comfortable place, and we can't wait to meet you and for you to be in on the joke of Alan and his giant teddy bear. He's gonna one random day he's gonna carry around. So we would like to talk about the scripture that's going to be preached on Sunday. So a couple of days from when this comes out, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And the scripture this week is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Is that right? Yeah, I love this.
We all have the same Bible.
I don't.
Of paper.
Yes, it's 37, and Monica did not have to turn her page.
I did not have to turn a page.
So
we technically didn't have to turn our page, but I didn't have to turn my page. Oh. So I was just checking.
There we go.
Went into 37.
So. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Before we jump into it, if you're okay, I'd like to add a little historical context.
Please.
Who are the Samaritans? So if you look at Israel, I'm not going to draw a map, and you're still on the lawnmower or in your car, but Samaria is a region that at this time had it had gone from being a part of Israel to something really very different. And it's sort of like, and I don't mean to pick on Oklahoma, but you know, Oklahoma has been several things in the life of its statehood. from mostly reservation, wilderness, into a state that you drive through on your way to somewhere else. Okay, I couldn't help it. I had to take a little dig at Oklahoma. But just like there are people from different regions who have come in, it ended up Samaria has a unique identity. Samaria is actually an ancient name that came from a long time before this. But the point is, people lived in Samaria. They sort of had a blended culture, blended religion, and the Jewish people saw them as traitors. And they there was a lot of animosity both directions. Because on the one hand, the Samaritans are viewed as traitors of the faith and the culture, which that's a big deal today. You can imagine 2,000 years ago was very huge, very important. And then Samaritans viewed the Jewish people as being arrogant, elitist snobs. So, which I think that translates universally throughout time, and you know, so it's a strange back and forth. Which, as I say it out loud, I realize, yeah, it's like Texas and Oklahoma today, in a lot of ways. But so this people who were traveling from the north, like where Jesus and the disciples are from, around the Sea of Galilee, when they're traveling from the north of Israel to the south, where Jerusalem is, Jerusalem in that area, it's directly south of, you know, where Jesus' hometown. And the normal route to do that, you're not even looking at a map, again, but you would think you would just go straight. But they didn't, because to go straight, they would have to go through Samaria. And so they would go either around long ways, either way to the west, to go close to the Mediterranean, to come down that road, and then to go east up into the mountains to get to Jerusalem. Or they would go the other way, which sometimes would be more of a difficult path. They would go the east route, kind of on the other side of the Jordan River, so way out of their way to go down and then come back across desert to get up to Jerusalem. So they would take long, treacherous, winding roads just to avoid taking the road that goes straight. Jesus, however, did not do that. And he traveled with his disciples sometimes straight through. Now, that's not what this story is about, but I just referenced that other times so you know. Like, Jesus encounters Samaritans, people in Samaria, and gives this excellent story where the hero of the story, the example of the story, is actually a Samaritan. So I set it up. Now I turn to you, Pastor of Discipleship, Carly.
Hey. Sorry. That's not how I talk.
I can't help it. I've been really nice to you so far today. Grading on a curve.
Yeah, grading on a curve, yeah. All right, so Jesus is teaching, and a legal expert stands up and asks Jesus, "What can I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus responds with the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus says, okay, follow this, and this is what you do to gain eternal life. And the legal expert wants to prove a point. He's trying to trick Jesus. And so he says, okay, but the love your neighbor as yourself part, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus, instead of just answering him straight, saying, everyone's your neighbor. The people you don't like are your neighbors. The people around you are your neighbors. Jesus launches into this story about a man who is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he gets robbed by some thieves, and they beat him up, they leave him on the side of the road, and three people walk by. The first one's a priest, and when the priest walks by, he's a religious leader. You think he would be helpful and be compassionate, but he walks to the other side of the road and ignores the man. And then a Levite came, who's another religious leader, and again, you would think, oh, they would maybe help this man, but he also walks to the other side of the road and ignores the man. Maybe because he didn't want to deal with it, maybe because he didn't have time, maybe because he thought the man was trying to trick him into, he was going to beat him up or something, I don't know. And then a Samaritan walks walks along the road and helps him. And so he gathers him up, helps him to bandage his wounds. He takes him to an inn where they take care of him, and he says, I'll pay, you know, I'm going to come back to the inn in a few days, and I'll pay whoever I need to pay for the extra expenses. And so Jesus finishes this story and asks, who was the neighbor in this story? And the legal expert says, well, the Samaritan, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, now you go and do likewise. So that's the story of the Good Samaritan.
Although it's interesting that the legal expert actually didn't say the word Samaritan, and I imagine that he couldn't even have that word leave his mouth. It was such a bad taste. So he's like, fine, the one who showed him mercy. Because, you know, when the story began and he got to the Samaritan, he was probably like, oh, yeah, here's the real bad guy in this whole thing. Let's see what this guy does, and not expecting the result.
It's funny that even when, like, we have our own prejudices and preconceived ideas of people, and even when the main point in the story is a man who is hurt on the side of the road, we're still focused on, oh, well, I don't like Samaritans, or, oh, we're focused on these little things instead of the main thing, which is helping this man. Right?
Which should be a basic human response, but it is not. That's a lot of dead time for on the air.
No. There's a lot. There's so many different layers to this story. It's really brilliant. And I like to pause and remind myself every time I read this story that Jesus was an amazing teacher. He had so many other important identifiers, but that's one that I think is almost easy to miss, because there's literally no fat on this story. You cut out a couple words, or you cut out a sentence, and it loses its point. There's no extra stuff. This is very brief, and I love that. I do love the challenge. I love that it resonates today. You know, a little bit of history, it helps, but you don't need a lot to really see this in its context. Someone who's supposed to help, rushing along their way. Another person who's supposed to help, should help. Yeah, just got other places to be. And then the Samaritan, you know, comes along. I love this, who is my neighbor? And it's, your neighbor is someone close that you don't, even the ones you don't like.
I think I like when Jesus tells stories, because, you know, if Jesus just gave you the facts, which sometimes he does, but when you hear a story, that's something that's alive and something that, like you said, has a lot of layers, and it's something that you go back to and it changes and you work with it because you're also a living being. And so how you relate to the story changes over time. And so Jesus isn't just giving us a teaching for right now, or whenever you read it the first time, or he wasn't just giving a teaching to this legal expert, but it's something that you can go back to and go back to and go back to and glean something else from it.
Monica, what you got?
I like in mine... I don't know what version everybody else reads from. In mine, at the end at the beginning, when the guy says to Jesus, like, this is the law, blah, 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 love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, like, you're right. You already know the answer to this question. And so then the guy said, or my Bible says, but wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? It's another, like, trick question where people think that they're gonna outsmart Jesus somehow, that they're going to trap him somehow, that they're gonna make him look stupid or wrong or like he's contradicting himself, so that they can point at him and tell all the people, like, this guy is fake, he's not who you think that he is or who he says that he is. And Jesus, like you were saying, Carly, like, he doesn't just say everyone's your neighbor, and keep on walking, because that's not super helpful. Like, that's not a very, I mean, it's an answer, yeah, but it's not a meaningful answer that would stick with you. Like, we can easily justify and easily weed people out of everyone in our minds. We do it all the time. And so Jesus specifically doesn't do that. And instead he tells a story, and instead he very specifically lays it out there that the people you hate the most, the people that you think are trash, the people that you think aren't worth anything, the people that you would least expect to be good, that's the people. That's who I'm talking about. That's the neighbor. So I like that. I just like that it's written in there that he's trying to justify himself, or at least in Luke's perception, he's trying to justify himself. Like, so I can assume that he had some kind of face, like annoyed and like smug face, like, well, who's my neighbor? And for Jesus to tell him everything, and for him, and for Jesus to make him say at the end, who is the neighbor? Like, you tell me who's the neighbor. And he has to tell him, mm-hmm, that it's the Samaritan. I think that that's interesting.
I think an interesting point to me is it is a Samaritan. It's not a Roman. I say that because Romans were the oppressors. They're foreigners who were occupying the land.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. But he chose a Samaritan, which is, they all know they're related. They all know their religion is very similar. Their culture is similar. They don't actually even have open hostility at all. It's not that. But yet that's the person I think that is harder to love or easier to justify that you don't love.
Yeah.
So, like, and just as a test, I'll just say this and I'll leave it alone. Instead of Samaritan, insert Republican or Democrat, whichever you aren't.
Yeah.
And just see how that sits with you for a moment. Because that's a lot easier to wrestle. I say a lot easier. It's easier to see the real point Jesus is getting at, instead of, say, a member of ISIS. You know, someone that you think of as, like, a military enemy.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, your actual neighbor who puts up annoying yard signs and...
Yeah.
You know, the person who yelled at you that one time.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that, like, hold on, I'm trying to think about what I mean. So, like, this is Jesus saying, like, it's not just love the people that you can love from halfway around the world, and you can just say, like, oh, we love them anyway, and we're praying for them, and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not what Jesus is asking. He's saying, like, no, the person that you see all the time, the person that you have to actively, physically love with the things that you do, not just the ideas in your head. Like, that anybody can say, oh, yeah, I love everyone, because Jesus says love everyone. Yeah, we can all say that, and we can all think that we believe that. Like, but what Jesus is saying is, like, when you're actually staring at a person that you don't like and who doesn't like you, who needs your help, are you going to help them? Are you going to actively love that person, or are you going to not? Are you just going to keep walking and, you know, say, well, this is an exception. I don't really have to love this person. I don't have to help them. I don't have to do anything. I just have to love them. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He doesn't say that. He specifically lays it out. Like, you have to act on it. That's the important part.
Yeah. And the two people who walked by, I'm not, you know, wonderfully familiar with Midrash at this time, Jewish teachings of ethics. I'm pretty sure I remember correctly that they would have said to do that. They would have said, yeah, you know, love the people who are here nearby, care for them. Even if they are, you know, they've been beaten up, maybe it's risky, you should stop and help them. Even if they're foreigners, you're supposed to stop and help them.
Mm-hmm.
According to the teachings that they would have said.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't say, which one of these uses the correct words?
Yeah.
Which one of these really did something without ever receiving recognition?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that the whole question that starts this is, what must I do to inherit or to gain eternal life?
Yeah.
And usually when we think about eternal life, we think about when I die, I go to heaven or whatever. But eternal life, this, what I think Jesus proclaims is that God can come to earth. And so the kingdom of God, this realm of being where we experience the good things like love and peace and joy, is available to us now. And so when we act like a neighbor to our neighbors, we're helping to like bring about that kingdom of God in the world. Is that too churchy?
No.
Churchy language? I'm trying to figure out how to explain it, what I mean.
I think it's interesting that, like, this all is an answer to, like, a very selfish question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I get what I want? And Jesus, I want you to tell me, how do I get what I want? And Jesus basically says, like, you're going to have to do a lot of stuff that you don't want to do. You're going to have to, like, actively participate in things that are difficult or uncomfortable or that you know, that aren't really fun for you. That's how you get to be a part of what you're talking about, Carly. I think that presence of God here and now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means doing really fun, cool things. And sometimes it means doing something you really don't want to do because it's, you know, it's how you actively show love to someone that needs it and deserves to have it. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's what you're trying to say, but it reminds me.
No, I like how you said
you
that.
You can't. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, thank you. It. I like that.
I think it's one to keep wrestling with, mm-hmm. whether you've heard it forever or you're hearing it for the first time. You know, Luke 10, go and read it and really think about it. And try that exercise of, try to put it in your context.
Mm-hmm. You know,
who are your neighbors, really? And what does it mean to live like this? I don't want to say, like, you ought to be stopping and helping people broke down on the side of the road. Be very careful doing that. Because sometimes those are traps now, but really think about people in need around you, caring for your neighbors. I don't know. See what that really looks like.
Mm-hmm. See what it looks like to do it outside of your head. Like you can love the people around you inside your head all day long, and that's super easy and convenient, and you can do it from your house. But like, what does it look like to love people that you don't want to love with your actions, not just in your mind?
Or we were just different. I did have an experience like this where I received help and care from someone that, I don't mean to use overly strong language, but the type of person I kind of hate. Is now a good time for an example?
Yeah.
So my daughter Amelia is going to turn 4 pretty soon, but there was a time when she was like less than 1. So very, very small, tiny little, doughy ball of a human being. And I was a very new, dumb parent. You know? And on Friday was my day off, so I had her by myself. And I would, try to venture out sometimes and do normal things. But the thing about a baby that size is you kind of have to follow their schedule or else you have, and especially if you plan to go out in public, or else you could have this very smelly, noisy thing that's with you, this wild animal that makes noises. And people don't like those noises and don't like you if you have said object that emits that smell and that noise. And I wanted to go to lunch with somebody and then go to a bookstore. And so went to lunch, just trying to do it my schedule, my time. And I'm seeing her, I don't remember the exact details. I do remember it was getting a little late, getting a little close to nap time when the lunch was over. But I still wanted to go to the bookstore and do my thing. There's no other place in the world where people want you around them less than when you're in a bookstore and you have a crying baby.
Yeah.
There were quite a few. This was back pre-pandemic, mind you. So there were a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to negotiate the stroller, screaming baby version of Amelia, get to the bathroom, try to get her changed, try to do this. And I'm struggling. I'm really struggling to get through this. And I was over in Dallas. I was at the big Half Price Books, the big mothership. So I'm a long way from home base in the most crowded, quiet bookstore around. And a full-on frat boy. The hair, the fishing shirt with the SMU logo on it. So SMU frat boy, which they take it to another level there. They can afford to take a frattiness to the stratosphere. All right, don't get me wrong. I have a degree from that institution. I've earned the right. I paid for the right to pick on it. Okay, I paid my dues. I can pick on it. And he like comes over out of nowhere. Well, and seriously, people are like frowning at me, like hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being publicly shunned. And this frat boy comes over, and I think at this point I dropped a bag. Like, I was just an embarrassment to myself. Like, picked up my stuff, helped open the door, helped get in the bathroom, talked to me while I was changing and trying to find her food and stuff. Just chit-chatting and handing me things when I needed it. And I start to go, and I almost tear up and just say, thanks, man. You know, I was really overwhelmed there. And he's like, and this is what he says. I have no idea what he meant by this. He goes, that's okay, bro. We got to stick together, you know? Sometimes we just got to stick together. And he gives me a little pat on the back and walks off. And I don't know what us is. I don't know what sticking together means. And I don't know why he felt obligated to call me bro when I don't even know what his name was. But this is someone that, you know, as you can tell from my voice, kind of actively looked down on. And who went out of his way to just help me through a stressful moment. Mm-hmm. And again, he didn't know me. He can look at me and tell we don't have a lot in common, but wanted to help us and took more than just a passing moment, but was present with me in that exchange. And it's years later, and that still means a lot to me. You know, so sometimes loving your neighbor, it didn't really cost a lot of time in his day, but his time is important. Mm-hmm. You know, we convince ourselves that. So, yeah.
I like that because it's an example of how we've been talking a lot about giving love to people that we don't necessarily see eye to eye with, but receiving it is a whole nother thing, and it's just as important.
Yeah.
I think it shows you God's grace and God's mercy in a different kind of way.
Yeah, and helping break down some of those barriers and things that clog up our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right, receiving that. Because it's hard to receive, and it's hard to stop and say thank you, to really acknowledge that. I've been trying to work on that lately. It's not going so well, but I'm trying. Yeah. Anyway. Anything else you want to say about the Good Samaritan? Which, by the way, Alan had to walk out of our super secret bunker here because he had to go to a meeting about Kenya, which our Kenyan village, which I wish I had known that. I would have asked him what was going on with our Kenyan village, and are we planning trips soon? I have nothing but questions, but
well, he can tell us next week.
Yeah, once upon a time we used to go to Kenya and be in relationship with a conference there in Meru Town. You know, to say it in as we would look at the words, Meru, but it's Meru Town, so which is a cool place.
Yeah,
a little evangelist that we helped support named Joseph once gave me a ride around Meru Town on the back of his tiny motorcycle, and it was the scariest thing ever, and I loved every minute of it. We even like went to a store because he had to pick up something, so we went to a store in Meru Town, the kind where tourists don't go, like the Meru Town equivalent of a very shady 7-Eleven. That too was eye-opening and terrifying, but the funny thing is I think that the locals there were just as terrified to see me as I was of them. And that might have been why I was taken there, for the sheer enjoyment of the absurdity of the scenario. But someday I hope to go back to Meru Town.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Alan did ask me to share about something about our Grapevine Village, which is here in Grapevine.
Here in Grapevine?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Shocker. So on the 24th of April, so just next week, next Saturday, I think. Well, it depends on when you're listening to this. It could be in the past. It could be in the future.
We hope you didn't miss it, though, if you want to go. All right, so what's going on?
Saturday, April 24th from 9 to 11.
9 to 11.
We're going to have a Keep Grapevine Beautiful trash cleanup in our Shady Oaks neighborhood.
That's some trash talk for you right there.
Oh.
What?
And so if you're interested in doing that, Shady Oaks is a neighborhood that we've really invested in, made relationships with people who live there. Some of them are members of our church. And so that's an area that we want to help out a little bit this spring. And so if you're interested, you can sign up through eNews, which is our weekly email out. Gosh, I can't get the words out.
You did a good job.
Yeah, thanks. Or you can email Alan at alanl@fumcg.org and sign up. So I think we need a good group of people to just help out. We're picking up trash. Anyone can do it. So
there's a lot of science that says that if your area of where you live or where you work, if it's nice, clean, orderly, well cared for, that it makes you feel better. It makes you feel more pride, and it makes your life just a little bit better. So a lot of science to support that. So what we're trying to do is help improve lives of our neighbors. What do you know?
There you go.
And all you have to be qualified to do is pick up trash. Yeah.
I think they even have the little trash grabbers for you.
You don't even have to be proficient at picking up trash. You can be very mediocre at picking up things on the ground.
If you've ever seen one of those trash grabbers and wanted to use one, now is your chance.
Now is your chance. So, yeah, I think that's fantastic. We hope to see you there, as our good friend Armando used to say about every single thing. Hope to see you there. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
April 24th. What are the times again? 9 to 11. So before it even gets hot.
Yeah, it's not going to be hot.
Yeah, it'll
be
fun.
Be super nice.
And if you show up, I'll let you buy me lunch.
Oh my gosh.
How about that? Wow. That's a privilege. Lucky. You can buy me lunch. What do you know? Yeah.
What else?
Speaking of which, somebody's like coming up here to buy me lunch fairly soon. So
lucky
we should probably
dog.
Wrap up.
That's
in a few
minutes. Sandy's making me lunch.
Yeah, that's why I can't do Sandy lunch, which honestly, the food is going to be better with Sandy lunch for sure. So Sandy is our, what is she? She's just our fairy godmother around here. That's the best way to describe her. She also works for our family ministries team and works with our families with tweens and children. And she's just amazing. And yeah, she's for some reason just decided to cook lunch for whoever wants it. So there we go. So we got fun stuff going on. We hope you do too. We'd love to hear about it. You can email us, call us, drop by the office and bang on the door. I'm not sure how many people we're letting in at a time, but that is a way to get our attention. We'd love to be in conversation with you. As always, please tell people about our podcast. Please subscribe because that helps our numbers. And honestly, the more you subscribe, the more you listen, the more you like, the more it helps us get the attention of other people who really desperately need sit down on the porch, have a conversation, and hear something about a God who loves them very powerfully. So thank you for helping out in that small way. Hope you have a good day. And Monica and Carly, will you sign us off?
Go everywhere
and eat everything.
And now will someone please press the big red button that Alan abandoned when he left the room? Doo doo doo.